Well, good evening. Good to see you tonight. We're glad that you're here for the final Wednesday night Bible study in our worship center. And we're glad that you're here. How many of you came because it's the last one here tonight? You wanted, it's kind of very special, isn't it? All right. I know Sunday will be the same as well. We'll have a lot of people here that are coming back to help us celebrate all that God has done for 70 years in this place. And so it'll be a very special time this Sunday as well. So looking forward to that. But we're glad that you're here tonight. I had thought long, what should be the last Bible study in the worship center? Now, God's not leaving and the Bible's not leaving, and we're going to continue on in the fellowship hall. But the last one in here, what will be the last one to be appropriate to the last one in here? I have stood here more than 1,000 times on Wednesday night and taught a passage. And so 21 years and doing that, and so I figured up today it's just over 1,000 times that I've stood before you looking at passages. And so wanted tonight to think, well, what would be appropriate for the very last one in there? And I think what would be appropriate would be Psalm 119, because it is a psalm about the Bible, psalm about the Word of God. Now, we're going to continue next Wednesday night. We're not going to have any midweek service on Wednesday on the 10th. And the reason for that is we will already be out here pulling microphones and wires to get ready to go over there, but we will not have them installed over there yet. And so we'll kind of be in between on Wednesday. So no midweek service here or in our fellowship hall next Wednesday night on the 10th. But the following Wednesday night on September 17th in the Fellowship Hall, we will begin a new series on the minor prophets. There are 12 of them. I think that you'll enjoy that. Probably an area of Scripture that you don't know as well. Probably many believers don't know the minor prophets. Those small prophets in the back of the Old Testament, you're kind of wondering, you know, what is their message? They had a major message and a major impact. And so we'll talk about that. But they're called the minor prophets just because the books are smaller. They're not as thick as Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Isaiah. They're shorter, so they're called minor prophets because of that. We'll start looking at that study 2 weeks from tonight, September the 17th. So tonight, we've studied God's Word many, many times here in this worship center. And even before I came, every Wednesday night, there would be studies here all the way back for 70 years. And so I thought it'd be appropriate to study about the Word of God tonight. Many times the Word of God, as we've been here in this building, has encouraged us when we needed it on those middle of the week nights. It's instructed us. It's convicted us. It's blessed us. And so all kind of emotions from God's Word. And so Psalm 119, I think, is very appropriate for us to look at tonight. So here's what we're going to do. Let me tell you a little bit about the psalm. And then after that, we'll look a little bit about God's Word and God's character. And then we're actually going to read it together, all 176 verses. Read it together. And then I'll close with some evident truths that are there in the psalm itself. And then we'll wrap up and close. First of all, just a little bit about Psalm 119. This psalm forms a regular part of liturgies in just about every tradition. Liturgies of Jewish liturgies, Orthodox, Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, Protestant liturgies. It has been set to music. Psalm 119 is one of those psalms that's impactful, not just because it's long, but because of what it says. William Wilberforce was a British politician. I know some of you have known him. He led the movement to abolish slavery in Great Britain. He loved Psalm 119. He had it memorized. And so he would constantly, as he walked home from work, from Parliament, he lived a mile. He didn't take any kind of transportation. He walked it from his house, Hyde Park Corner, to Parliament. And it was 1 mile, and it was just the time he could memorize, to recite Psalm 119. So he committed the psalm to memory, and that in that 1 mile would memorize and quote it out loud as he walked back and forth to work. Eric Metaxas, in his biography of Wilberforce, writes, quote, "If Wilberforce was alone, he would sometimes recite the exceedingly long 119th psalm to himself as he walked. The happy informality," Metaxas writes, of reciting scriptures aloud among the birds, the flowers, and the tall grasses of Hyde Park was a special memory. In his diary, Wilberforce wrote this: "Walked from Hyde Park Corner today, reciting Psalm 119. What great comfort." So this psalm has meant a lot to a lot of people for a long time. Longest chapter in the Bible, as we talked about. Spurgeon said of Psalm 119, "The Spirit of God here condescends to alliteration and to alphabetic arrangement," I'll explain that in a moment, "in order to help the memories of the readers." So, Psalm 119 was written so you could memorize it. How many have it memorized? I know one does back there. Yeah. Psalm 119 was designed to be memorized. You say, "Oh, it's way too long." No, no, that's the reason it's broken down the way it is. It's a mnemonic device so you can remember it better. So through the ages, people have memorized Psalm 119. In fact, it used to be a part, Roman Catholics, 1500s, it was a part of their breviarium, and so they would not only read it, they would actually recite it in unison together, 1500s. Also, it was under Pope Pius V, did the same thing under Pope Pius X in the 1900s. And so Christians have taken it seriously to memorize this psalm because it was designed to be memorized. You say, how do we know it was designed to be memorized? Look how it's broken down. Do any of you have in your Bible the words, every eight verses have a Hebrew word? That's okay, almost all your Bibles do. The reason is because it's an acrostic. So there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The first one's Aleph. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. It goes on. And so every eight verses is talking about God and God's Word. And it's designed so it breaks it up where you can memorize it. So it's an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. Eight lines each, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet gives us 176 verses. So the reason it's broken down like that is for a mnemonic device. It's to help you. Whenever you're memorizing it, you can memorize it easier whenever it falls into various sections like that. So maybe you'll take the challenge and maybe you'll memorize Psalm 119. One message of the psalm is that we are to live a lifestyle that demonstrates obedience to the Lord, who is a God of order. He ordered this, and He's a God of order, God of sequence, not a God of chaos. And our lifestyle should demonstrate that obedience to the Lord. Who wrote Psalm 119? We don't know. It has been attributed to David by some people, but we don't know for sure. It doesn't say a Psalm of David. Whenever the Bible tells us a Psalm of David, we know it's David. When it doesn't, we don't know who wrote it. So there have been some theologians that think David wrote it. Other theologians believe Ezra wrote it. Others believe Daniel wrote it. And others believe Jeremiah wrote it. So those are the four main theories of the author of Psalm 119. Why those four? Well, as you read Psalm 119, you notice that whoever wrote it had a tough life. They had hard things happen to them. Whoever wrote it suffered some difficulties in life. David did, Ezra did, Daniel did, Jeremiah did. Because all through here you see, man, life has been tough, but God's word lifted me up. And that was the testimony of whoever wrote it all the way through. He describes plots against his life. He describes slander against his character. He describes taunts against him. He describes persecutions. He describes affliction, things he went through. And so enduring persecution and affliction is a major theme of Psalm 119. Now, you probably thought Psalm 119 was just about the Bible. Someone were to ask you, what's Psalm 119 about? Oh, that's about the Bible. But it's about more than the Bible. It's about enduring when life's hard. Some of you have had a hard life. Some of you have had hardships recently, more so than early in your life. Maybe some of you have had them your whole life. But for whatever reason, maybe it's health, maybe it's financial, maybe it's relationships, whatever it is, some of you have had a tough time. And this is a testimony to those people who have had tough times, but there's been something about God's Word where He has showed up and strengthened you. And that's the testimony of Psalm 119. So it could have been David, could have been Ezra, could have been Daniel, could have been Jeremiah. All of those qualify for the taunts and the hardships and the afflictions, the persecutions. But God's Word was there to strengthen them. So let me give you encouragement tonight. If you're having a hard time, facing difficulty, this is a good psalm for you. Because whoever wrote it knows exactly how you feel. Let's talk a little bit more about a letter B on your outline, God's Word and God's character. Another prominent theme in Psalm 119, obviously, is the profound truth that the Word of God is all sufficient. God's Word is all we need. Because God shows up in His Word. God is sufficient and God's Word is sufficient. Now I realize we're living in a culture that denigrates God's Word. It devalues God's Word. And it says, oh, it's just a book by men. And oh, you can't believe every bit of it. Well, I know the Bible says this, but you can't go by what the Bible says totally in today's world. And you hear all of that, and all of that's false. Because God's Word is sufficient. Always has been, always will be. It's sufficient, it's final, it's truth, it's authority. So, the prominent theme of Psalm 119 is God's Word is sufficient. And God's Word shows up in almost every single verse of Psalm 119. There are 8 different terms that are synonyms for the Bible, for God's Word. And He uses all 8 terms here. They're just synonyms. They all mean the same thing. He uses the word law. That's the Bible. He uses the word testimonies. That's the Bible. He uses the word precepts. That's the Bible. Statutes. He uses the word commandments, judgments, word, ordinances. 8 words He uses as synonyms. So every time you see that word, just substitute the Bible. It is God's Word. So in almost every verse, God's Word is mentioned. But not only does the psalm affirm God's Word, it also affirms God's character. Because all the way through the psalm, you see God's Word reflecting the very character and nature of God Himself. Yahweh is mentioned 24 times in the psalm. And God's attributes are mentioned in this psalm. Listen to the attributes mentioned of God in the psalm. His righteousness is mentioned. His trustworthiness is mentioned. His truthfulness is mentioned. His faithfulness is mentioned. His unchangeableness is mentioned. His eternality is mentioned. He is light that's mentioned. And His purity is mentioned. So 8 characteristics or attributes of God are listed in the psalm. So it's not just a psalm about God's Word, it's a psalm about God and the kind of God that you serve. So here's a little bit more, let us see about the psalm itself, and then we're actually going to read it. The psalm opens with 2 beatitudes. You know what a beatitude is? Blessed. Blessed is the one who does this. You know the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus started it with the Beatitudes. The blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. Well, this psalm begins the same way. In Greek, it's the word makroi, blessed. In Hebrew, it's the word esher. It means the same thing. It means joyful is the person who does this. And that's how the psalm begins. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. So it begins with these, with these, beatitudes of blessing to those people who keep the statutes of God. Blessed is your life if you read what God said and you do it. You're blessed. So, the author is a man who's known great trouble in his life, but also one who's come through with a deep and passionate understanding of God's unfailing love and compassion. So, throughout the affliction, the author is clinging to the truth that he's learned from the Bible, from Scripture, which is eternal, and he says, stands firm in the heavens. And his love for the Word of God and his dedication to memorize it and remember it and live by it is this theme over and over and over. I know there are many of you tonight, I look out and I see you, and you're here every Wednesday night. You love God's Word. You love the study of God's Word. You love whenever it's taught, whenever it's read, whenever it's instructed. And I commend you for that, because we should have a love for God's Word. And so you have the same kind of love that the author of this had, because he came through all these situations in life and came out on the other side and said, God's Word is what got me through this. The character of God revealed in those pages, that's what got me through. So, tonight, with having said that, as our final activity on Wednesday night in this worship center, I think it's appropriate that we read about God's Word from God's Word. So, let's read it. I won't comment on it. As I read it, let's read it interpretively. Let's read it so as we hear it and as you follow along, really get the gist of what God is saying. Then I'll close with some evident truths and we'll dismiss. Chapter 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Bet. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Dalit. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts in your righteousness. Give me life. Vav. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Zion. Remember your word to your servant, in which you've made me hope. This is my comfort in my confliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. Het. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Tet. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You're good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Yod. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they've wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. Cough. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forsaken your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me! They have made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Lamed. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I'll never forget your precepts, for by them you've given me life. I'm yours. Save me, for I've sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Mem. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you've taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Psalmic. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live. And let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, for I am afraid of your judgments. Ayin. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act. Your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Pay. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and I pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Sade. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Cough. With my whole heart, I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Resh. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commandments. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Sheen. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I abhor and hate falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tau. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, For all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Well, you got it memorized? Okay, let's start over then. No, just teasing. What a great exercise to read God's Word through Psalm 119. It's the last activity in this worship center. Just some things I noticed. You probably noticed them as well. God's Word is sufficient. I noticed that all the way through. It's everything He needed in the time of affliction. Whatever was going on, God's Word was there for Him. I hope that you will find that to be true in your own life as well. Whatever you're going through, God's Word to be sufficient. But I noticed also, God is sufficient. He was very capable in saying that as well. Not just the Word itself, but God Himself was just as sufficient. And then I noticed also, He was saying, blessed is the one who delights in Him and in His Word day and night. How many times did He say, teach me your statutes, over and over and over? What a great prayer as we leave tonight. God, continue, even though the building won't be here. God, continue, the fellowship hall, new building, continue in my life. Teach me this book, because in this book, I find you, and I find life. We'll see you Sunday. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Father, for the many times that we've stood right here and that we've read your word. We've gone in depth. We've gone into the languages. We've applied it to our lives. God, we've been convicted. We've been encouraged. We've been inspired. So, Father, I thank you, and I agree with the psalmist tonight. God, just continue to teach us your words. May we not swerve from your statutes. God, living in the midst of people who do not obey your commands, but Lord, may we have the commitment that we will obey no matter what. So Lord, in the days to come, whenever we stand in the fellowship hall in the new building to study your word, may your Spirit guide us, and may our cry always be, God, continue to teach us your statutes, because you are good and you do good. And we love you and praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.